Angelo Acerbi, Fred Film Radio from the Torino Film Festival. We are delighted to have with us Nicholas Winding Refn. Hello.
Hello.
You are arrived here at the festival to introduce an Italian movie, Mario Bava's Terrore from dallo Spazio Profondo. Which is the connection with you and this film?
Well, I don't have like a specific connections, but I guess there are leading threads to the film. One of the screenwriters of the film, Ib Melchior, was a Danish writer who lived in America. Mm-hmm. So, and me being Danish, and we're only 5 million people, I thought that was pretty crazy. Mm-hmm. But it's a film that I've always admired a lot for many different reasons. I think it's an incredible combination of horror and science fiction. And I mean science fiction in the sense not about technology, but about evolution and religion. So it's much more heightened. Mm-hmm. It's much more philosophical. It has a very deep-rooted horror structure of fear of ourselves and what's in our own darkness around. So the combination of two very complicated genres into one is the reason why they ripped it off to make Alien.
Yeah.
So that itself, just technically in terms of how the film is designed, is an incredible achievement. Then there's the whole choice of the costumes and the design. You know, I always felt that it's like an installation film in a way. It's like going to a pop art gallery. So it transcends normal emotions of how we view space and clothing. It's probably one of the most sexiest movies showing no nudity. Mm-hmm. The sound of the leather costumes, which are so fully clothed, they could have been nude because it would be the same thing, just diverse. It's a very sexy movie in terms of when they touch each other or fight. It's very heterosexual or homoerotic, depending on what you're into. So therefore, it transcends any normal sexuality. It's much more fetish-oriented. The design itself of the film from Bava's is extraordinary because it's so imaginary from a technical point of having very little money to do it. The craftsmanship is very just, it's very engaging because it's really about speaking to our subconscious, because obviously everything is fake, but yet they're able to make it so like we travel into this outer world of space and fantasy. The acting is, you know, so, but that's not why we're watching the film. It has so many other qualities that the acting are more like puppets in a bigger sphere mm-hmm. of elements. And it's a pretty groovy title. So for me, it's just a film that I've always very much enjoyed and find very inspiring, actually. So when this opportunity came to present it in the restored version, because I remember when I started working with Lucio Fulcisano, I was always, you got to do something about Planet of Vampires. You must do something about Planet of the Vampires. And then he said, okay, I'll do the restoration. Would you like to be part of it? I was like, absolutely, man.
Yeah. So are you a fan of the Italian genre movies? Like what we call the Italian B-movies?
Well, I like all kinds of Italian movies. And I think B-movies is a very wrong definition, especially nowadays if you look at how a lot of these movies actually stand the test of time.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I don't know where the B comes in. I would call them great cinema or alternative cinema or genre cinema or pop cinema, but I don't think in any way it should be degraded as B cinema. Actually, it's beyond cinema because they kind of transcend into pop culture and all other things of our
Absolutely,
lives,
yeah.
Whether it's music or design or literature or even, you know, their social documents of times in a way.
Well, this is why they endured.
I mean, and still continually finding new fan base. I mean, the screening last night at Restoration was a packed cinema, and over 60% of the audience, which were all young, had never seen the film before. So it shows that there is a huge interest in what Italy has to offer on these kind of films. But, I mean, I'm not a walking encyclopedia of Italian cinema. I haven't seen every Italian horror film or science fiction or Western. I'm sure there are many of them. But absolutely, I love... What I like about Italian culture generally is that it's always more extreme. It's always more sexy. It's always more vibrant. It's always more colorful. It's always heightened. Mm-hmm. It's more imaginative. And I don't have an interest in reality anymore. I like heightened reality. And I think, you know, Italy is the world of design.
And don't you think those movies can have like a side of naivety too evident? They are too simple, not too much structured as a narrative, like the Mario Bava movies or those so-called B movies. They had no money to do it, so everything has to be down to the bone, you know, very, very. And sometimes the narrative were too naive. Don't you think that?
Well, I don't think naive. I think they were more about other things in a way. You know, Mario Bava, and I haven't seen every film he's ever done, but what I've seen is that he was not a political filmmaker in a sense of making a political statement. He was similar to a fairy tale writer. Can you call fairy tale writing naive? Mm-hmm. On one level, absolutely. But at the same time, they usually carry more subconscious weight than anything else. Mm-hmm. So I think naive is the wrong word. I would say that they are they speak more to the subconscious than they speak to the logic.
Yeah.
And therefore, that's why they continue to stand the test of times. I mean, you know, I come from the country of Hans Christian Andersen. Was he naive? Maybe. But what he wrote is still something that we analyze today.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's much more sophisticated than that.
Listen, your work as a style that is generally acknowledged, and if we go on the web reading about you, there are many adjectives that are used to describe your work and yourself. Like, I read some extremely gifted, ambitious, original, coherent, which is a very good one for me, and irritating sometimes. Mm. Do you recognize yourself in those adjectives?
Well, you know, I I think if I start to define myself or believe in what other people write about me or comment on them or try to define them, I would sound like such an asshole.
And which kind of movies do you watch?
Well, I don't really...
I mean, for pleasure, not for work.
Well, I mean, having a family doesn't give you a hell of a lot of time to watch a lot of, but I try to watch as much as I can. I saw a movie called It Follows that I thought was terrific about a year ago. That really, I thought it was a terrific film. I of course, like everyone else, watch some TV shows. I find it harder and harder to concentrate on watching long form. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I'm affected by the internet. But I love the creativity of the digital revolution.
Yeah.
I like to see things I don't really understand. And then I guess my wife and I like to watch reruns of Friends.
Well, everybody does, actually.
In a way, life is very simple.
Yeah, that's so reassuring. And you were talking about the digital revolution. There is this kind of big quarrel started to grow about those who are for analog, like print, and those are for digital. Does it make any sense to you, this? I mean, what... You love print. You love print. I read that, but you use digital too. So, what's the reason of this fight, if there is any?
Well, I think that it's a valid fight, I guess, of people's choice of canvas, because that's really what the discussion is about. It's about the choice of canvas. Of course, we have to preserve our culture, and one way of doing that is through digitalization. But in terms of aesthetics, there are certain filmmakers that swear to shoot on film only, and want to project on film, and some people have different opinions. It's not a discussion I find particularly interesting, because what I like more about the digital revolution is the accessibility of creativity. You know, I grew up on film, not really in the cinema world.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up on television. You know, in New York, when I came to New York when I was 8 years old from Denmark, Denmark had one channel that would show X amount of hours of a day or whatever, and not probably was any good or entertaining really. So when I came to America and saw that there were multiple channels you can switch from that would show either film or television shows 24 hours a day, the idea of having be able to click channels was what I found very interesting, and not really understanding that it was no longer film, but it was actually a digital evolution, you know, analog digital that went now pure digital. That is what I find interesting. I find interesting what my kids are doing on their iPhones. Mm-hmm. I find interesting of how people use entertainment as a political weapon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what changed the Middle East was not a bullet, but it was Twitter.
Yeah.
You know, so for me, you can talk in terms of an artist canvas with a film, which you tell it's kind of irrelevant. I prefer the digital personally, mm-hmm. but because I like the unreality of it.
Yeah.
But I find digital much more interesting in what it represents for our future and the ability with it. That I find interesting.
Listen, what do you look for when you create a new movie? What is that it attracts you or intrigues you more that you bring that then you decided to bring it on the screen?
Well, I don't really know why I make what I make. It usually starts with what would I like to see. So I approach everything very fetishized in a sense of what turns me on. Not really knowing why it turns me on, nor have an interest in it of knowing why, but just what would I like to see? And then usually there, that builds some kind of want or need to surround it with it, some kind of structure that you essentially make a movie out of. But I don't have an interest in knowing why. I don't have an interest in the result. I actually enjoy the process more than anything else.
Yeah. One last question about your new film. If you have, what can you tell us about it, Neon Demon? Besides the fact that this, the first film of yours with a female lead character instead of a male one, but besides that, what else can you tell us?
Well, it's, what can I say? I think that I've been working on a film for many, many years, but I didn't know when to make it. And I have been very fortunate to be working the last couple of years with a lot of, not a lot, but a few actually Italian fashion brands. And I started getting very interested in the aesthetics of purity of design. And so, having done that, I thought, well, maybe it's time to make this film now based on all these experiences that I'm having in the world of design. And then I'm surrounded by beauty at home. I have a very beautiful wife. I have very beautiful children. So I thought, I would love to make this film now about beauty. And that's how it all began. And then my wife was, because everything I do surrounds, essentially is about her, one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
And after we had lived in Bangkok to do Only God Forgives, she was like, the only place I would even think about going is Los Angeles. And so with those kind of like tools in front of you, I decided, well, then I have to make the movie now, and it has to be about this, and this is where I want to make it, in LA, about beauty.
Okay, so we will wait for it a lot. We're eagerly waiting for it to be released, to be done and released. Thank you very much, Nikos Winding-Refn, to have been with us from the Torino Film Festival. Angela Cerbi for Fred Film Radio. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.